Good morning. My name is Jane, and I'm an elder at West Kirby URC. So good morning to all of you, no matter which church you come from. Now it's a privilege of mine to bring to you today the last chapter in the book of James. And just as a very quick recap, if we look at James, we've covered trials and tribulations, learning, listening and doing, faith and deeds. We've looked at taming the tongue. How are we all doing on that one? We've looked at submitting ourselves to God and not boasting about tomorrow. And that's what Colin touched on last week. And now in the final chapter of this book, chapter 5, there are three main areas in here that are headed up if you read from the NIV, and they're headed up: warning to the rich oppressors, patience in suffering, and the prayer of faith. Now I haven't got time to go through all of this, and so I'm gonna look at patience in suffering. And I'm laughing to myself because you just would not believe how many times I've had to record this because I've got microphone problems. But here goes. Hopefully this will be the last time. Maybe God is teaching me something about patience today. Now I'm not going to talk about the warning to the rich oppressors. I just want to make sure that those of you who have worked hard and are good with money, not me, that it's not speaking about you. It's speaking about those who have oppressed people in the name of getting their money, those who have not treated people well in order to gain their finances. And the prayer of faith, I really do encourage you to look at this for yourself and sit with God, because we should always pray in faith. But I want to just say that because there's a section in this about healing, that don't let anyone tell you, because you've asked for prayer for healing and haven't received it, that you don't have enough faith, because that's not true. The doctrine on healing throughout the Bible is complicated, and all you need to hold on to, in my opinion, is that we have a God who is a healer. We have a God who wants to heal, who can heal. We can't always explain when the healing we've asked for doesn't happen, but we all hold on to the fact that one day we will all be healed, we'll all be made new, every tear will be wiped away. So I just encourage you to sit with that, and particularly the bit about Elijah, because he prayed for some radical stuff, and it says he was just a man like us, not a superman, just a man like us, and he stopped the rain and called the rain down again through his prayers. So let's jump in at verse 7, reading through to verse 11. Suffering, patience in suffering. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near you. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. We do have a compassionate and merciful God, and we should never forget that. If we go back to the beginning of this, we're told to be patient until the Lord's coming, because here we're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, when the old order will be put away and the new order brought, when everything will be made new, when all tears will be wiped. And many of us yearn for that time. But we are told to be patient. And Jesus himself told us that we wouldn't know the time or the day, and not even the angels know. It's just for the Father God to know. And then he uses an analogy of how farmers, and of course the people he was speaking to at the time would have well understood this, wait for the autumn and spring rains. Why two rains? Rains rain, it's wet, hits the ground. What's the difference? Well, he's just reminding people that things need to happen in an order. You can't plant seed in hard ground. You need that rain to soften it. And then you also need more rain on that crop to bring it to fruition. And it's the same for us, because there are things that we are waiting on that need certain things to happen along the way. And so we are called to be patient in our waiting. Patient until the Lord brings about what he's promised us, what he's called us into. And to know that God will be working along that way. And next, he says, you too, so us, not just the farmers, we need to be patient and stand firm. Because the Lord's coming is near. The older we get, the more people that come and be born in this world, the closer we are getting to that second coming. But we don't know when it will be. But we are called to wait, just like we're called to wait in everyday lives for the things that we are waiting on. And to be patient, but to stand firm. That means to stand on the promises of God, to stand on the calling he's put before us, to stand and to wait, to not give up. Many of you will have been praying for years for people that you love who haven't said their yes yet, for them to say that yes. And nothing seems to change. But know that God is working, and he's working through our waiting. And that when we can't see him waiting, he's still there. Which is something that I love in the verses from the Waymaker song, because that says about in our waiting he is working, and when we can't see him he is working. And to hold on to that, to know that we can't see everything, and we certainly can't see what's happening in a person's heart, but we know it needs to soften before the seed of the gospel can be planted. So maybe we can bring that into our prayers, that people's hearts would be softened so that they would receive the seed that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So hold on. And particularly if people are like me, where they've got children who came up through church, who said their yes to Jesus, but are now not living alongside him. It says at the end in verse 19 and 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So we are still called to seek to turn people back to God, as well as turn people to God who have not yet said their yes. And that's important. We may cry out, Jesus, come now. But if Jesus came this very second, what about the people who later on in the day would have said yes, or those tomorrow, or those after? So our eyes need to be fixed on him and the Great Commission. We are called to show Jesus and to bring people to a place of salvation, which can only be gotten through Jesus Christ. So even in these difficult times of lack of contact, there are ways we do this. Firstly, and always, through prayer. And then through kindness, through speaking of Jesus, through living a life that only makes sense if Jesus is real. through showing our love in the ways that are meaningful to those individual people, that they may ask questions of us as to why we do that for them. It goes on to say in verse 9, don't grumble against each other or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Colin spoke of this last week, that judge lest not we be judged. For if we judge others, we too will be judged by the same standards. Now, the judge is standing at the door. There's only one judge, and that's God. So that's just a reminder, because it's important. We're not called to be mini judges for God. We're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We're called to be under his guidance, and that he will take care of us, and that he will search and seek out the lost. But we can bring those names to him, to ask him to seek and search out the lost that we know are lost. Next, it speaks of an example of patience in the face of suffering. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen that the Lord finally brought about. Now, you'll have to excuse my dogs if you can hear them in the background. I do apologise. The book speaks about looking back at the prophets and their lives and their perseverance. We know in the book of Hebrews there's a list of people whose names are added to his number through their righteousness, but through faith and perseverance it speaks of, by faith and by perseverance. Now, there are many other prophets in the Bible who spoke God's word and it wasn't accepted by the people. In particular, the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke the word of the Lord, but no one listened. Now, if Jeremiah was a pastor today, he'd have an empty church and be seen as a failure. But to God, he was never a failure, because he stuck by what God asked him to do. And now it's written down, we can look back and we can see that what he said is actually what came to pass. Now, think about Noah. 100 years building an ark in the middle of a desert. People must have scoffed at him and ridiculed him, but he did what God asked, and in the end those floods came, and we wouldn't be here today if he hadn't been so faithful and patient and persevering. So what is it you're needing to be patient about? What is it you're persevering through? What is it you're waiting upon? We're all waiting for this pandemic to end. We're all waiting for Jesus to come again. But are you, like me, waiting for your children to come back to faith? Are you waiting for that ministry God promised? Are you waiting for that calling to be fulfilled? Don't give up, because God hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on God. We are called as a people to seek his face, to trust and to listen to him. We are called to believe that he hears our prayers, and to have the perseverance and the patience of faith to wait for that to come to pass in however God chooses that to be. We all know people who are suffering in these times, mentally, physically, emotionally. What can we do for those people? You might be one of those people, but I'm also going to ask you, what can you do for others? Because sometimes the best way to fill your time as you wait is to help another person out. Who's on your heart to call? Who's on your heart to send a card to, an email to, a text to, a WhatsApp? Who's on your heart to ring and see if they need any shopping? Who's on your heart in your street that's struggling right now that you can be praying for. There are so many of us struggling. There are so many of us needing that patience and perseverance. But we have a merciful God, and He is loving and kind and ever patient with us. So let us ask Him to fill us with a greater amount of patience, of faith and of trust. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word written by James. I thank you that it's a guidebook to how we can live our lives reflecting you. Help us all to be a witness, Lord. Help us all to identify our weaknesses and bring them to you, and you help us, Lord, as we strengthen that, whether it be our patience. Lord, help us to see that you are working in our waiting. Reassure us, Lord. Would you pour out your Holy Spirit on everyone listening right now, Lord, and fill them with that peace that passes all understanding? Would you quench every fearful thought in people's mind? Would you smother anxiety at this time, Lord? Would you just come in mighty waves across this nation, across this globe, Lord? We put the pandemic in your hand and we ask you to crush it, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We're now going to listen to I Offer Up My Life. And that's what the book of James is telling us to do. Offer up our lives that we may live for Him. Have a great rest of the day and keep safe.